Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Yesterday, I had the honor to preach Bob Owens' funeral service. I tried to communicate the unspeakable joy he is experiencing now. The problem is that many of the word pictures that you attempt to create cannot hope to express the spiritual reality of what the presence of God truly means. Gives you yet another reason to ponder the wonderful work of John's book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus, and the wonderful, marvelous way the Holy Spirit allows John to communicate in word pictures the awesome beauties of heaven. The book of Revelation is a drama in three acts. The first takes place on the church, and then the world, and then heaven. It tells us about the council to the churches. Now, that's sometimes depressing news, because the church is not anything like it ought to be. And then there are the events that are very depressing along the way. In chapters 8 through 18, they describe the things that will happen on earth. And there are terrible things coming. There are tribulations and terrible tribulations, and some that unleash evil into the world before the final victory of Jesus Christ. These writings are a large part of the work of the revolution, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. They describe the pain of the church, the plight of the world. But as John writes about what is happening in heaven, we get a different perspective. We get to understand that in heaven, at right this very moment, things are taking place that give us a totally different view of the circumstances that we face here in the church, or the circumstances we face in the world. They put a whole new concept that we can look through to see what truly matters, what is real. The blessed hope is once again laid at our door. We just got to open it. We can see all things there work together for good for those who love the Lord, who serve the Lord, who follow Him. Let us go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We ask You to bless each and every person who is here. May they understand and hear the things that You want each of us to know. May we hear Your voice speaking to us. Cast out my words. My words are nothing. They're less than nothing. Cast out all the things that I have thought to say, and You communicate with us in the way we need You to communicate, with Your love, with Your grace, with Your mercy. Speak to us. Speak to us the everlasting truths, the facts that we so look after. May we look beyond the facts and into the face of faith. May we understand what You would have us hear today. Change our lives Transform us. Do whatever you need to do with us so that we will be a part of those who hear your blessed words. Well done, good and faithful servants. All this we ask, knowing that we cannot do it ourselves, knowing that there is no way for us to buy our way into heaven or work our way there. It is by your grace and your grace alone that we stand before you today, opening your word and asking you to illuminate it for us. Come, Holy Spirit. You're invited into this place. Speak to us today, for we ask these things in the name you placed above all other names, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you look with me into Revelation, the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That's amazing. The first thing John sees are not the streets of gold. He does not see mansions and villages, and he doesn't see cities. He doesn't see anything, but he is focused on one thing and one thing alone, and that is the throne of God. He sees that, and he sees someone sitting upon the throne. You know, this is described in pictures that we can begin to understand. Imagine if you were suddenly dropped by helicopter or something. Maybe you came in with a kite. I don't know how you came in, but you imagine for a moment with me that you are in a suddenly find yourself the only person in a Stone Age culture. And you want to describe to the people there the power that you're used to. You want to describe the place where you came from. You want to describe electricity. Now, you can't speak to people who've never known electricity about amps or volts or generators that, because of the steam that is in the water, turn and create electricity. You can't do any of that. So you look around, and you look for things that they can connect to. And you see that you're in the middle of a jungle, and there are vines hanging from the trees. They don't know anything about wires, but they know a lot about vines. Vines you see swinging monkeys and people through the forest. And even though they're wooden and they're not metal, you say to them, electricity flows through the vine. Well, the vine is a conduit of something. Well, how do you describe electricity? You can't describe it. No scientist on earth can describe electricity. We know how to harness it. We know a lot about it, but we don't know what it is. If that makes any sense to any of you. But in any event, here it is. And so you look around into the people's culture and you say, what do you consider a power? And they're primitive people. And the only power they know is the Spirit. And so you say, yes, the Spirit flows through those vines. And if you connect one of those vines to your cave or your hut, and you do that, then when you go in, it connects to a little star that suddenly shows light even in the darkness. That's a difficult way to try to communicate. But trying to describe heaven is like being dropped into a place where no one understands what you're talking about. You're the outsider. You understand that they don't understand your language. They don't understand your analogies. They don't understand the things that are most common to you. They don't get. And so we see here that John is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And he sees the throne. And the throne, he describes, as something that is surrounded by a rainbow. Now, not just the rainbow we see that goes from pot to pot or from place to place, but a circular rainbow. He's trying to describe what it's like, and he says the person who sits on the throne is emanating this light. And he says it's kind of like a jasper. It's kind of like a stone that's like a diamond that reflects the light. And that it's also red, and it's like a ruby, and it reflects the light. And there's so much light coming from the radiance of God sitting on his throne. It's like a light show. It's like a laser light show. He's trying to communicate to us that God, who is light unto the world. And he's doing that. He's talking about the brightness and glory. Look at verse 3. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. And he tries to describe it. Maybe you can understand this, that the brightness and glory of his presence made John say his appearance as he did. He tries to describe the indescribable. And God wants us to know, and that's the reason why he allows his Holy Spirit to inspire John. He wants us to know. But in verse 5, he says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. It was as though there was a storm, an electrical storm. There was a lightning bolt that came from the very throne of God, which reminds us that our God is an awesome fire, that he has such brilliance about him that the people fled from the Mount Sinai when he was up on the mountain with Moses. And they heard the rumblings and they heard the thunder. And it harkens back to that time when in the presence of God, that light show coming from the presence of God becomes a terrifying thunderstorm. Verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. He was trying to describe the indescribable. He says, suddenly this glorious scene becomes terrifying. The light show from the presence of God becomes this terrifying thunderstorm. And now, out of that, he begins to focus in and he sees something that he thinks no one could ever see. The throne itself cannot be approached by mortal man. You can't cross the sea, and these creatures are there, it seems, to guard the throne. You can't come into the presence of God unless there is a miracle. Not unlike the parting of the Red Sea. And so he's trying to describe that. And he sees four living creatures on the throne and 24 angels who never stop singing. Verses 6 through 8, this is what they say. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. You were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and princes and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. It says, now when he had taken the scroll and the four creatures fell before the Lamb of God, slain from the beginning of the earth. He sees something that he can only describe as a lamb that's made for slaughter. Perhaps he's got blood upon him, around his throat or on his stomach. He sees it standing there. And he hears the voices of many angels crying out, crying out. Who will come and take the scroll? He sees the scroll in the hand of God Himself. It is written on parchment on the front and on the back. That's what it says in chapter 5. And I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. The scroll, John is using in a way that people would understand. He's saying, look, the emperor writes his will upon parchment. The only person who's allowed to open it is the one who can execute the will to other people. If the will says, then you're going to receive X number of dollars, then he's the one that executes the will and he gives you the money. He releases the money to you. It is that kind of thing, and he wants to know who has it. It's in the hand of God. No one can take it from the God, not anyone on earth, not anyone under the earth, no one, no time. No one is available. Moses is not available. David is not available. Krishna is not available. Muhammad is not available. Buddha is not available. He can't do it. There's none who can do it. No one can take everything that God has purposed for the earth. Every promise that he has promised to fulfill, they cannot take that from the hand of God and break the seals. No one can do it. No one can cross the sea of glass. Nobody can go through these living creatures. No one can do it. And so John weeps. It says in 5:4, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each having a harp and bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. Worthy. You are worthy. We sang that song a little time ago. You are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God. John sees Jesus cross over the sea of glass, go between the living creatures, take the scroll out of the right hand of the Almighty God. He is now worthy to open it. There is nothing beyond it. The entire purposes of God are contained within it. And it's sealed with seven seals. John was trying to teach us something very, very important. That in Jesus Christ, what He said is true. He is the life. He is the way. He is the only one that can bring it to us. I don't know, perhaps when John weeps, it's out of desperation. He doesn't know what to do. He can't go across the sea of glass. He can't enter into the presence of God, that terrifying light that is God. He needs someone to do it for him because he cannot do it. Perhaps you felt that way. Perhaps you've been diagnosed with cancer, or you've had heart disease, or physical loss. Perhaps you have a physical weakness in your body and you feel like, there's no hope for me. I can't do it anymore. Perhaps you have addiction in your life. Perhaps you have a sense of isolation. You are there by yourself. Nobody can do it for you. If you've ever felt like that, if you've ever been depressed to the point where you felt like you were falling into a deep hole and there was no one to help you, no one to lift you out, then this is the good news you've been waiting for. In chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, you're seeing that Jesus takes the scroll from the hand of the Almighty, and the whole of heaven erupts in worship. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, the strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature witnesses in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." That is your hope. That is your blessed hope, that Jesus has all the promises He's ever made in this wonderful book to you in His hand. He is waiting simply to open it up. It's there. All things are old or passed away. All new things are, everything is made new. There is new hope that the Lamb of God will do the Father's will on the earth when He returns. And it says in the Bible that when He returns, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At that moment, He has opened the scroll and He is there as the beneficiary. Then you are the beneficiary. He first, we second. He has received every single solitary promise that God has ever made. He is the fullness of God's promises. And He is giving them to us. To us. The cancer has gone away. The heart disease has gone away. The pain has gone away. Everything is gone. That is gone. Now, Jesus is ready to complete the power. He has the power to execute the will of the Father and all the promises that it contains are yours. You know, I don't know about where you are with God. Only God knows that. But this I can tell you from the Word of God, that if you have admitted that you have sinned and confessed that you need a Savior because you have sinned, that you can't work your way to heaven, that you can't buy your way there, that there is no way for you to do what needs to be done, that only the Lamb can do for you, that if you believe that Jesus is that Lamb, He is your Savior, that God has sent into this world to shed His blood to wash you clean, then if you receive that truth into your life and you begin to live for Him, you become His Savior. There's in His place. You become His servant. You become the one who follows Him across the sea of glass, then you too can enter into the presence of God the Father. You too can go through the terrifying light show and find peace in the midst of the storm. Then you too will be one of the multitudes of voices crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Worthy is He who comes in the name of the Lord." You too will be able to do that. You too will have the right, because God gives you that child of His, the inheritance. He gives it to you. It is His goodwill to do that, to fill you up so that you can have life now abundantly. You can have life eternally. You can be in the midst of all the saints of heaven, all of His created things, the angels, everybody, and all the assembly of the saints. He lays that at your door, allowing you to lay down every problem and temptation and addiction and situation in your life before His throne. Looking at Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ looks into the very heart of God. God loves you. He loves each of us. He loves you with a love that sent His only begotten Son into this world. He loves you. He will heal you. He will wipe away every tear. He will meet every need in your life. He is worthy.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.